Hello and welcome. You are finally listening to Talk at Psychic 101 on Station 1, right here at the one and only BBS Radio. You know, every time we talk about ETs or anything, particularly when we have James Gilliland on, there does seem to be a correlation with technical difficulties. I'm just saying. Every second and fourth Monday, I aspire to inspire you with no-nonsense wisdom and refreshingly real radio. I'm Karen Tallcat Conley, third-generation psychic medium. I like to say, I'm a happy medium, or I'm a medium and not a large and not a small. Just a bit of corny psychic humor that we intuitives find amusing. You were just listening to the soundtrack from the mothership scene in the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Do, 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 do. Remember the basic tonal vocabulary in the first day of school, fellas? A so cool lead-in, I thought, for my guests, who have both had valid and authentic close encounters with spiritually and technologically advanced beings. That's one reason I invited James Gilliland and Michael Knight to be my guests tonight. Welcome, you guys.
Oh, good to be on the show again.
And the same, Karen. I'm Michael.
Nice to hear your voices. You are two of my favorite men. There's only two other men that are on my list of favorites, and that would be Ben and Jerry, because they make really good ice cream.
They do indeed.
Jerry Garcia is my favorite.
Yeah, Jerry Garcia, that's my hubby's favorite. I'm into the chocolate area, of course. Well, listeners, we have a really special show tonight. These guys are not only highly informed, but they work in a heart-based and service-oriented approach. Now, as you BBS listeners already know, the American public has experienced a distinct lack of information in the last few years, not to mention the flow of disinformation coming from mainstream media. Now, I found the recent miraculous landing of Flight 1549 on the Hudson River to be a fine example of what can happen when humans are given the facts along with genuine direction. All 150 passengers plus the crew survived because there was training and preparation for emergencies in advance by rescue workers and flight crew, and everyone was given the true facts with guidance and direction. You know, we humans are really fully capable of behaving and surviving very well. All we need is a little information and a little direction. James Gilliland, for those of you that don't already know him, and I think most of you probably do, he's the host for As You Wish Radio, right here on BBS, founder of ECETI, ACETI, and ufologist. Now, he stands apart from most of the UFO community, and here's why. He knows that the ET message is about brotherly, sisterly love and harmony, and he speaks of technologically and spiritually advanced beings. Those subjective experiences of James's are backed up by thousands of eyewitness reports, including CIA, NASA, and other alphabet agencies, Boeing engineers, tribal officers, Air Force pilots, scientists, and Air Force base commanders. These are all individuals who are trained to look at all aspects of sky activity. And he's been featured on numerous radio and TV programs. But I like what James says. Come on out to the ranch and see for yourself. And Michael Knight, the Sean Connery sound-alike from New Zealand, you girls will love him, he brings us the expertise of a whole career of investigative journalism. His journalism background is the secret of his expertise in gathering documented, accurate information, and he shares it with us lucky ducks, all in one location so we can get the big overall picture. In addition to Michael's position of editor of the international newsletter called Earth Changes and directing the movie Contact Has Begun, he offers amazingly practical, helpful, and affordable e-books about ways to prepare for the possibility of martial law, economic stress, and more. Have any of you guys ever had a close encounter? Have you ever wondered if insights or a flash of wisdom came from a distant planetary location? Well, both of my guests have had such encounters. Now, I know that everybody may have heard this story before, and I know, James, that you may be tired of telling it, but would you share with us just briefly your near-death experience?
Well, it began with a drowning. I was out body surfing, and the some sneaker waves came up. It was down in Southern California on a beach called Little Corona in that area. And what happened was we were body surfing in maybe, you know, 6 to 8 foot waves, somewhere around there. And then just out of the blue, these sneaker waves came in that were 17 to 25 feet tall. And I just got pounded. And after about the third wave, there was no way I could, you know, continue any longer, and went through the tunnel that everybody talks about. And ended up in what I call the golden plane of bliss. There's just a golden white light. It was the most loving, joyous, blissful experience. You know, I can't even use words to describe it. And I was part of the light. I was unique yet one. It's hard to explain. You're a light being, but there's a greater light or greater consciousness surrounding you. And I had a conversation with that higher consciousness and energy, or what I call the source.
And that's one of the key things in the documentary that we made with James, you know, the one that I directed, The Contact Has Begun. The fact that he had a near-death experience and went through that tunnel, I could resonate to that because I did something similar back in New Zealand when I was racing motorbikes. Basically, I killed myself on a motorbike, went down the tunnel, but I hadn't finished the race, and that was my point of focus. And I almost got to the light, and I said, look, I haven't finished yet. And next second, I was back in my body.
Wow, you guys. Well, you know what I liked especially about your story, James, was what your little conversation you had with Source, and what was said when you left.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I had to totally kind of rethink my whole programming here on Earth about, you know, the nature of God and all the programs. I went through Catholic Church when I was a kid, and so I had to get rid of the little old man, you know, in the ethers with a laptop taking, you know, keeping track of people, you know, with lightning bolts to punish whoever didn't jump through the hoops that they give you. But it's, you know, the first thing I asked after I got there was, how can I stay? And it came back to me and said, you know, I never told one of my children when to come or go. That's free will. And then I asked, how can I earn the right to stay? And it just said, you know, cannot earn what is given freely and unconditionally. And then later on, I just said, after just, you know, how can I serve? Because you just want to give back. You're so grateful and for the experience. And it's, you're just totally blissed out, and you just feel so much love and security and nurturing energy. And, you know, it came back to me, and I said, how can I serve? How can I give back? And basically it came back to me and it said, what do you want to do? What brings you joy? And I said, I want to return to Earth and, you know, teach people about the true nature of God, that, it, you know, it's not the images we've been given, that it's so far beyond that. And, you know, there's so many images and so many experiences and so many people gathered around those experiences, you know, which created the religions. I think there's up to 20 or something, 20,000 Christian, religions, you might say. I mean, they're all sub-religions within that book alone. You know, it's something just outrageous. And everybody thinks they have the one true doctrine and the one true image. And also they think they're the ones that have the only correct translation of those images. And so, you know, it just gets crazier and crazier and crazier and crazier. You know, the bottom line is we all came from the same source, and we all returned to the same source, and we jumped into these multicolored, you know, earth suits, you know, with different cultures to have experiences and gain the wisdom through those experiences. But, you know, we need to get back to the basics and start, you know, behaving ourselves and be kind to each other and live in harmony with each other and the planet. And that's basically the bottom line. Everything else is just kind of a lot of nonsense, you know.
It's true. That is so true. Well, you know, I didn't know that both of you had been down the tunnel, so to speak. That's really cool. How did you two guys meet?
You know, one of the things about both Michael and John, this movie could have never been made if they weren't also awake. And I had a lot of people come up and try to do this movie, and they just didn't get it. They couldn't capture it, and you know, the way it came together, you know, with Michael's expertise, and, you know, especially that narrative voice was just perfect. And
oh, I know.
And the special effects they put together, I was blown away. I was speechless when I saw it. They totally captured it and just did a phenomenal image, you know, with the special effects, everything. They did such a phenomenal job of capturing the near-death experience and everything. So, you know, kudos to Michael and John, because this would have never happened if they hadn't also been on a very similar journey and knew what I was talking about and knew how to actually capture it. But
if this was live television, you'd be seeing this bright red light over in the corner.
Well, you guys earned it. You know, I went, you know, I always say there's three people that fall victim to flattery every time, you know, men, women, and children. But you know, these guys earned it. They really did. It's my hat's off to them. I'm still in shock when I see the movie.
The way it
well, you know, that's one, you guys need to know, you listeners, you can get this DVD, which I cannot recommend highly enough, either on the Yassidi website or on Michael Knight's website, which is posted up in the corner. You can go, just Google them, either one of them, but it's also posted up in the corner on the front page here at BBS under the show info. So, you know, check it out. You will absolutely love the movie, and you'll want to watch it again and again. You know, we're going to take some time tonight, and I've got some email questions for you, too. I'm going to kind of go through those a little bit, and if you guys want to call in and ask a question during the show, feel free to do that. Just give us your name, where you're calling from, and who your question is for, or what your question is. Won't be any Tall Cat readings tonight. Just save those for the next show, because tonight is the Michael and James show. Now, one question that I got through the email, Michael, was for you, and this person wanted to know, is there anything we can do to help the Earth changes, which brings up the subject that you mentioned of the Nexus 2012 project. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd be pleased to. The Nexus 2012 project is something that I came across just a few weeks ago. It's a discussion on the Project Avalon website and forum. And Nexus 2012 is about events leading up to and expected to occur in the year 2012, which includes a lot of Earth changes, but solar changes and, you know, solar system changes and changes in our entire galaxy. I can't go into the full detail on it at the moment in order to answer that question. But certainly there are things we can do between now and then. First thing is to get information. This discussion tonight is a good start. Information about what's coming, and I'd suggest going to that Project Avalon thread. It's called Nexus 2012, and getting involved in that. Or on my website, I have about 5 free e-books available. Free Nexus e-books, which will give you a lot of background information. What they're planning is to have a series of meditations on the sacred sites around the world, starting with at-home meditations on the 8th of February. The idea being that when people combine their meditative process in thought and spirit, it impacts the planet and it affects the future. So that's something.
That's kind of like the. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt it, but isn't that kind of like the Maharishi effect when they meditated in Washington and actually altered? I forget what it was, the course of a war or something.
Yes, yes. One thing that I did some years ago was a series of articles for a magazine called The Golden Thread, and it was a science type magazine, but I worked with a Dr. Roger Nelson over at Princeton University, and he has a website called the Global Consciousness Project. He's kept data gathered over many years, and it shows how consciousness influences and how people can sense coming events. So there's a scientific basis for what's going on, you know. And he said, so the question is, what can we do? Well, the Meditation Nexus Project is one thing. The other thing that I personally tend to stress is let's not forget that we are spirits housed in physical bodies. And this is why on my website and my books, you know, I'd rather stress getting physically prepared. Get away from the coastal areas. You know, in the event of earth changes, tsunamis are going to be your biggest problem there. Those sort of things. Take care of yourself physically. One of those e-books, which I've just put up on the website that's a free download, is all about the meditation process. So learn some meditation to look after the spiritual
side. So important.
Hmm?
So important.
Yes, yes. And prayer works too, of course.
Yes, that's right. It sure does, both of them.
Right.
Kind of the same thing.
So I may have been a little long-winded on that answer, but there was a lot to cover.
No, that's important information. In fact, if it weren't for you, Michael, I wouldn't have even known about Nexus 2012 Project. I was actually glad to hear about it. I think that's very exciting, for no other reason than this. That project points up the fact that everybody counts. Everybody, all of us, are important. You know, and we could be at home alone and have an effect on the universe, you know, without being in the public forum even. That's how equal a playing field it really is. That's one thing I loved about the whole idea of the Nexus 2012 Project. Everybody can participate.
No, I think that is really important. One of the things I always tell people is that it's very, very important that each person makes their own personal God connection or spirit connection, whatever name you want to give it, and develop your own inner sensitivity so you can feel and, you know, get your own inner guidance going and, you know, what's on the horizon and what's coming up. And then to lovingly and joyously, you know, prepare without attachment, because one of the main problems is people are so attached to a lifestyle or to, you know, their homes or their lives or whatever else is going on, and you know, we're going to have to get a little more mobile, you might say, especially if you're living on the coast or those areas. You need to be ready to move,
mm-hmm.
if that inner guidance says, you know, it's time to go and seek a little higher ground.
Those are really good points, James, because I always tell people, you know, don't take our word for it. Check it out for yourself with your own inner connection and your own ability to research.
Mm-hmm. That's
and,
what we
know,
teach here, basically. We help people release the past, and that's the main message from the Palladians and these other higher beings, is they want us to release the past because our past is creating our tomorrow, and we're full of all these wounds and traumas and, you know, wrong conclusions from past experiences, and we need to heal that and start moving forward and, you know, live in harmony with each other and the planet. And at the same time, you know, we need to really, you know, get in touch and get proactive with what's happening around us. And like this show here, you know, after the show, people, if you sat down and put the time out and did your own little intention experiment and filled yourself up with love and joy and bliss and sent it out there and asked for help from these higher beings, you know, we could get a lot of assistance in, like, mitigating a lot of the severity of some of these changes.
That's a good point, because the question was, is there any way we can help with the earth changes? And sometimes we forget. There's a lot of information out there. A lot of it is scientific. Some of it feels negative and scary to us. But there is what I like to call an opposing force of goodness or benevolence.
Mm-hmm.
And when we hook into that, that's vital and important right now more than ever before, and so easily done. And once you hook in and you get your own connection, as you guys both know, then we are able to begin, well, I kind of call it the purification process,
mm-hmm.
when we start to let go of our connection to so many material things and our own personal fears and the things that, you know, our own insecurities and all of that, which is very, very liberating, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. You know, one more thing I might add is that I've been working with some of the top physicists on the planet, and they have fuelless energy and anti-gravity and counter-gravity, and they have the technologies to purify the water and totally turn this planet around. But they've been blocked all along and met with violent resistance, you might say, to the point of actually terminal resistance. And that seems to be totally lifting right now. So I'm seeing a huge surge of technology coming out, a lot of these, you know, anti-gravity technologies. And even Obama is saying that he's, you know, going to be releasing these technologies into the free market. So we'll see what happens, because that's really the only way we can turn this planet around and the economy around as well, is to introduce these new technologies and, you know, give this both the economy a shot in the arm and clean up the planet as well. And it seems like these scientists and these people are all coming together. And lately it's been, what's really bizarre is it seems to be happening all around me lately. You know, I seem to be some kind of a midpoint or something. I don't know how that happened.
But you are.
To connect these people together.
Well, you know, this that's important because, you know, I in my line of work, I am around things like prophetic things and, you know, remote view and mm-hmm. views of the future, et cetera. And something I really know is that all of that is subject to change, because we're constantly creating as we go.
Mm-hmm.
So all the information that we get is so helpful and important, but a lot of the scary negative stuff, although we need to be prepared for it, it still is subject to change. But the effects of mass meditation, for instance, like Michael was talking about, that's powerful, powerful stuff. Because
it'll be extremely powerful. One of the things that the instigator of this is an entity by the name of Astral Walker. That's the pseudonym that he uses. But he's looking to see, let's say, if they had 7,000 people on 1,000 sites around the world, 1,000 sacred sites, you know, the multiplier effect would be absolutely tremendous.
I think it's so exciting.
Yes.
I think everybody should go check out that website and see what's what with that.
Well, if I could just give you the name of my website, they can get
these
Nexus e-books here.
Yeah, Michael, you are a source of information, baby. You got to go to Michael's website, listeners. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, it's BUY, as in buy, and then contacthasbegun.com. That's the only name I could think of when I was setting up my domain. www.buycontacthasbegun.com.
And you know what's good about Michael's resource, listeners? He puts out fabulous information that is incredibly reasonable. Like one of his e-books is like $9.95, and I have it. And it is amazing and practical and funny and wonderful. You'll love it. Check it out. Go to his website and see what he has to offer. I just wanted to ask him, you know, a couple of the questions from some of the email, if it's okay with you guys.
Sure.
From Julie in Alaska. She calls herself the Yard Gnome Lover. And, you know, this may sound like a strange question, but believe it or not, in my work, I've had some clients ask me about this sort of thing, and I don't know the answer. Maybe you do. She says on the outside of her ankles and the outside of her palms, she has little triangles, and they look kind of branded or like they were cut or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she noticed them on her ankles when she was a child, but the ones on her palms appeared since she's been living in Alaska. She says she's seen a few bright green blue balls while she's been up there in Alaska, and she wonders if the triangles might be some kind of a marking. She feels they're kind of odd, but somehow okay. She says she's just wondering.
It's been my experience that same story I've seen again and again and again with markings on the body, and some are a lot of triangles, and then some will be like systems when you look at them. One will look like the Orion system or the Pleiades system or something like that. And I've seen people getting these like little acupuncture points, you know, and they don't remember anything happening to them. So it's a pretty common event, and most likely the triad or the triangle is definitely a major symbol within, you know, a lot of the very advanced, spiritually and technologically advanced UFO community.
Oh, cool. Very cool. There's one other question along the lines of ETs for either one of you guys. It's from Millie, and she wanted to know if you guys know anything about ETs. She's a regression hypnotist. And she wondered if you guys know anything about ETs that incarnate in human form, possibly for a purpose about the 2012 event. She said a few of her clients have, under hypnosis, found that they seem to have no past life here, but they lived on another location that sounds like a planet. Could it be a gathering of sorts, you know, maybe to do with 2012?
Do you want to handle that, Michael, or do you want me to?
I'll give it a shot. It is entirely possible that there are people on this planet who are from elsewhere, and this may very well be their first incarnation here. For example, I've got a video on my home page of two ex-military guys, one of whom says that some of the advanced civilizations which our governments are trying to keep us away from are actually so much like us that they could, you know, we could be walking down the street and we wouldn't recognize them as being any different from what we are. So I'm saying that it's quite possible that there are entities who have gathered here leading up to 2012.
You know, we've been given a lot of information on that, and basically what they've been telling us is that there was a channeling once, and I would listen to this channeling. It was very powerful, and what they said is that there is a plan, and they said God has given its best, and its best are going to be awoken on the planet and all move as a wave together to turn this planet around. And what I've been hearing, you know, after that channeling, I received a lot of information around that, and what they said is there is a massive plan. It has to do with many other dimensions and these highly evolved beings that are incarnating right now. And some have incarnated directly from these other systems and these other dimensions to bring that higher consciousness and that way of living to the Earth, to help the Earth in its collective consciousness. It's like seeding the collective consciousness of Earth, and then what they're doing, there's a lot of these people walking around that don't know. They suspect or they might feel something. They've always felt different. You know, they don't fit in quite, and they don't understand why humanity behaves the way it does and what we do to each other and the planet. And a lot of those people right now are being initiated, and they're awakening very quickly, and they're having contacts and just phenomenal dreams. And these initiations happen both sometimes in the body and a lot of times out of body. And they have the technology to pull you right out of your body, wake you up, you know, download you with information, and put you right back in the body. So there are a lot of people walking around this planet. I would say it's probably, you know, well into the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of souls on this planet right now that are awakening. They're being initiated, just like I was initiated by the Orion Council of Light when they came in. They sent a beam and hit me in the chest, pulled me right out of the body, and the next thing I know, I had full access to all of my lives, and some were off-world, and all this just download of information came in, and I'm still assimilating some of it. It was pretty intense. But from what I understand, this is not an uncommon event. This is happening to a lot of people right now, and it's stepping up, and it's part of the greater plan. Is like a great initiation where these people are going to be awakened and vibrationally lifted up to awareness that they may not be from here and that they're here to turn this planet around.
I'd like to make a comment on that, too. It goes back to Julie's question from Alaska about the body markings and your earlier reply. I sense that if what you're saying is correct, James, and I believe it is, that there is a benign interest and a loving interest in us, as opposed to what we've heard about the Greys and those sort of aliens who have the negative agenda.
Yes.
So it could well be that the body markings are something to be really happy about.
Mm-hmm. You know, I agree 100%. There is, you know, the truth, the positive side of this event is so vast and so enormous and so powerful. And all we're hearing about is the negative, and it's been kind of a little bit of a pet peeve of mine. You know, I don't have very many, but I'm just amazed at the censorship on getting out the truth about these benevolent beings and how they're here to assist and trying to to help us. And these beings have transcended disease. They've transcended war. They've transcended all material needs. They have everything we need to turn this planet around. But, you know, the bottom line is we have to rise to the occasion. And these beings are totally censored, even in the UFO community. And at the, it blows me away because we have one of the most well-known international hotspots, the most evidence here. It's still ongoing, and we have hours and hours of video and footage of these ships coming in and interacting with people, and the witnesses are impeccable. And, you know, lately I've been pretty much censored out of most of the major UFO conferences. And
that's what I like about you, James.
It's just amazing. I just go, what is wrong with this picture, until I look at the boards of some of these conferences, and it, you know, it's all military. The boards are all military. You know, the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect, and there's a lot of disinformation going on and New World Order stuff, and they all say they aren't, you know, the New World Order. There's no different disinformation here. But the whole program that they're pushing is a very negative agenda, a very fearful agenda, and it's not that way at all.
It may be that this is one of the tendrils of the octopus, and what we have is a situation of controlled descent. You know, you create an organization which allows people to discuss a topic or do good works, but all it's doing is keeping people distracted and off-centered. And for example, my understanding of the UFO phenomena over the years is that the focus has often been on the grays, the negatives, the fights under, underground fights and so forth. Are we still here?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're still here. I think that was a caller.
All right.
You guys ready for a question?
Sure.
Okay. Hi, you're on the air. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Amber. I'm calling from Vermont.
Welcome.
I had a question for both of you. I actually saw Contact Has Begun, and I really liked it. It was cool. It's sunk in with me.
Thank you, Amber.
Beautiful.
The question that I had is regarding sort of what you guys were talking about earlier, just about feeling like the stranger in the strange land syndrome. And I was wondering if you guys had any advice about dealing with the journey inward and then having to deal with the outside world.
You know what I found is before you even start with your inside journey, it's very good to learn how to heal any unseen negative influences and keep your space clean. And if you have to deal with the outside world also as well, learn how to keep your space clean and learn how to protect yourself and maintain your own self-authority. And we have all that information in the book, Reunion with Source, and both in Becoming Gods as well. All that information is in there. And I've seen over and over again is that basically people are walking between worlds, and the old world is going through a huge transition, and a lot of it is going away. And if you're connected to it or dependent on it, you're kind of going to go down with it, because a lot of the old program is going out the door. So I think it's very important now that we follow our hearts and act with impeccable integrity and move in a direction and work in a direction that is supportive of this, you know, awakening and healing process. And then that world will continue to build and grow. But if we stay attached to the old world, you might as well just spin your wheels there, because it's on a downward spiral, and it's
right.
Going out.
One thing
it seems
expect.
Like you still have to deal with it, though. You know what I mean? Like, in your everyday life, you still, like, I still have to see the same people, and they're like, what's new in your life? And I'm like, well, actually, I'm studying about aliens, and you know what I mean? Like, that sort of thing. Like, I feel like my insides just want to tell everybody all this things that I know, but I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't want to be the crazy one in town.
I think that's very wise, Amber.
I know. But I feel like there has to be some sort of, I don't know what.
Well, that's why we're here. See, I came out of the closet so everybody else can. And I've transcended all need for acceptance and approval outside of myself, and I just say it like it is. And if people have a problem with that, it's not really my problem. This is the way I look at it. So So we have to get into that space where we're no longer in need of any acceptance or approval outside of ourselves, and we can stand up for our truth and, you know, our beliefs, and thank the other people for their open displays of ignorance, you know, when they come after you. Just say, thank you. Thank you for establishing your intelligence and your awareness, you know. Just walk away.
Love it.
It's also true that as you evolve in your thinking, people that you used to connect with drift away because you're putting out a different frequency, and frequency always attracts like. So as you evolve into a new way of seeing the world, you start to attract different people, different information, different environment. And there can be a period of chaos as you make the transition, but that's what life's for.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's someone said recently to me, and I just loved it. They said, "Don't seek to be comfortable; seek to change."
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can't be both.
You know, society doesn't teach us that, but that's where we are now.
You know, I get a kick out of it. I actually get a kick out of shaking people's cages now and then, and I do it in a very loving way, and I just keep beaming them with love. I don't get into judgment, but, you know, I hold them in that energy, but at the same time, I really shake their cages, you know, and I actually enjoy, you know, watching, you know, whatever falls out.
Yeah, it's really liberated to be in that spot, isn't it?
That's fun. You know, it needs to be fun about it, you know, not get defensive, not try to force your beliefs on other people, but, you know, ask those questions and keep questioning them until they just run out of answers. And when they run out of answers, just say, well, maybe this might be the answer, you know, and let them figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, Amber, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you, guys.
You check out Michael's website, By Contact Has Begun, and James's, which is ECETI.org.
Will do.
And also,
okay.
Too, feel free to email me, Amber, or anybody else if you have questions. I try to answer all my emails. Sometimes I get like 500 a day, but I try to help anybody out that has questions about, you know, what they're experiencing or what they're dealing with. And you know, we do the best we can, and we try to get to everybody, and we usually do get to everybody.
Well, I'll tell you, listeners, a good way to experience and to really have a good dose of probably Michael Knight and James Gilead is go in July to the Earth Spirit Science Conference. I went last year, and I got to tell you, I mean, I do this, you know, wacky out-of-the-box, you know, psychic medium stuff, and I, you know, was sort of a newcomer to the whole ET phenomena, but it just it blew me back up there. I had transformative, altering experiences, and I haven't been the same since. It is amazing up at James's Ranch. And if you go to his website, you'll see some of the pictures. In fact, if you look at the show info square there on the screen on BBS, you'll see a photo of a little light creature that I took on James's property when I was up there. So, you know, there's, in addition to all the evidence, you can go there yourself. It's exciting, isn't it, guys?
It is indeed. I'd like to try and turn James into a little red light in the TV studio if I can. when John Savage, the producer, and I were looking to make a documentary, we had a number of options, and we heard about James's place at Trout Lake, which is just near Mount Adams in the state of Washington, and that he had UFOs flying over and doing what they call power-ups. We knew that James had a sanctuary and that he might have a story to tell. So we went over there to do a research trip. And because of my background in documentaries since about 1960, I've done a lot of evaluating of people, and that's just what you do. We were over there, and James was quite openly doing what James does best, being loving and...
Yeah.
Calling life as he sees it. And he said, you know, there's these craft fly over at nighttime and they just glow. They just power up like a... So we were out there that night. And one of these came over and it powered up, which was pretty impressive. But the most impressive thing was that John Savage and I slept out that night, and got up in the morning just before daylight, and a craft came over, and we looked at it, and James had said, you know, if you put your thought out there, they'll connect with you telepathically, and you just ask them to power up. So I said to this craft, okay, power up, and it just flashed big. Well, John grabbed his dinky little pocket camera, and he pointed it up at this thing that's 50,000 miles in the sky with a flash that'll go 12 feet, and he flashed his camera, and this craft flashed back. And John did this three times, and this craft flashed back three times. So I'd seen UFOs before, but that was a really convincing moment. And so we made the documentary. We attended the first Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference at James Place, and I just totally recommend it. He has some awesome speakers there.
Oh, it's awesome. The speakers are totally amazing. The land is peaceful and harmonious. And the other good thing about that conference is that these fabulous big-time speakers are there, but they mix with their sessions of speaking, they interact with the crowd, and it's, you know, everybody's very accessible, everybody's very equal. The interesting thing I noticed when I went out to the ranch was that I had seen the ETs before, and what I saw at his ranch made me realize that I connected the dots, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody's experience is different when you get out there, but you get a combination of one-on-one experience from the sky directly, and the connection to that is not only, like Michael was describing, an actual, you know, communication, kind of like from, you know, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, ... real simple with your, you know, you flash, it flashes, you telepathically ask it to power up, and it does. But it goes into your heart, and it goes on. Oh, it goes into all kinds of deep levels. It's a very amazing experience, hard to describe. Combined with great teaching, I mean, you can't lose.
Yeah, they they usually fly over every event. They fly, we've had at least two massive ships fly over. One was on Friday night, and one came in on Saturday night, and it pulsed the whole group out in the field, and everybody felt it. It was pretty. Pretty amazing, but yeah, they do show themselves, and it's what's funny is people keep trying to say, oh, it's all bunk and it's all nonsense and overactive imaginations, and you know, and it's massive gnosis. I've heard it all, you know, eye wiggle.
I'm sure.
Yeah, the problem is that cameras don't really, they're not very well hypnotized, you know, they don't have a brain.
Yeah.
And so people are filming these events, they're interacting with them, the witnesses are impeccable, and you know, if it's eye wiggle, they're wiggling all the way across the horizon, making right-angle turns and stopping and interacting with people. So it's a pretty massive eye wiggle.
Satellites don't back up, make U-turns, and power up when you ask it to.
Yeah, we also had some fun time making the film. We just had a blast making the film. And there's a couple incidences, I don't know, you can ask Michael about it, but they ran out of batteries, and we had all kinds of batteries. Fun with batteries there.
Oh, yes. Yep, we were up there a couple of times doing the filming, and on one occasion we were filming outside. We had these radio mics on James, and the batteries would go flat within about 20 minutes. So my sound operator cameraman was busy changing batteries and changing microphones and so forth, and at one point James said, well, give me the battery. Why? I'll charge it for you. And Chase gave him one of the batteries. James held it in his hand or put it in his pocket for a few minutes, gave it back to Chase, and it just ran like a brand new one.
James is a charging device.
Yes.
That's what happens when you live in an ET airport.
Yeah. A high frequency man.
Yeah, a high-frequency man, that's right. I wanted to touch on one question, if I could, because I was grateful that people took the time to send in the questions. And from Molly, she wants to, she's curious about if you guys know anything about, this is new to me, ORH negative blood, and is it related to our outer galactic family, possibly the Elohim, as discussed in the Old Testament?
I have heard a lot about that, and it does seem to be directed in that direction. So you find out a lot of the people that have a long history of contact or point to the Pleiades or these other star systems. When you check out, you know, blood types, there's a lot of other indicators there as well that, that seem to point in that direction.
Go ahead, Michael.
Our ancestry is not quite what we've, most of us have been taught in Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
It does include, I mean, this planet's been around for many millions of years. We're not the first civilization here. You know, there's ancient artifacts that just tell us that they had spaceports, a place like Baalbek, Stonehenge, you know, a landing spot for circular craft. So we are a crossbreed, a hybrid. We're not totally earth-bound, earth-based, earth-reared, earth-made entities. We do have what scientists up till recently have been calling junk DNA. Where did that come from? Right?
Interesting.
Yeah. Advanced civilizations, we mentioned this in the documentary, they came here, they engineered the hominids on this planet, crossbred, genetic engineering, which we're only just beginning to understand ourselves. And so, you know, the various races of humanity do have blood types, people have different blood types, and part of it comes from that off-world, benevolent, scientific societies that have been here before.
Pretty interesting stuff. I think we have a caller. Is there a caller on the line?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling, my name is Russell, and I'm calling from Rainier, Washington.
Well, welcome. Go ahead and ask your question. We're a little short on time, but I wanted to get you on the air. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask your two guests that, you know, in regards to the phenomena of 2012, that some information that I've been studying and looking at, besides some of the information being spoken of tonight, there's a gentleman named David Wilcox who speaks about, as we approach that particular timeline, our genetics, our DNA, our vibrational rate, not only on the planet but within ourselves, is starting to change. And I wanted to hear what the guest speakers there might add to that.
I might add a little bit to that. It is true. We are going through genetic changes. Our vibratory rate is raising. We are going through, you know, a major shift. But we can't live in denial that the Earth is going to go through a cleansing process. And I think that's one of the things that Wilcox is not, you know, fully addressing. And there's a lot of people out there giving everybody the feel good message, what they want to hear, and everything else. And I don't think it's the time for that anymore. We have to give them the facts and look at the science and see if this has happened in the past, and you know, really take a hard look at this and get all the facts together, because, you know, denial in the days to come can be deadly. And if you're not paying attention and you think everything's gonna, you know, be rosy and we don't have to do anything, and all we have to do is just like hold hands and ascend into the next level, you might have a rude awakening concerning that.
I'd agree with that too. I believe that people should be researching as much as they possibly can, getting as much information as they can. But speaking for myself, I stress that if we're going to walk a path, we need 2 feet. If we're going to be physical and spiritual, we can't just be one-legged. We can't just say, I'm going to walk the spiritual path and forget about the planet. The planet itself is a conscious being. The planet itself has been mutilated by our societies for hundreds of years. It's got garbage zones bigger than the state of Texas out there in the Pacific. How is it going to cleanse itself without doing something that we would consider violent and life-threatening to us? The planet has to clean itself up. And, okay, we can mitigate it, perhaps, but I'm getting back down to the personal level. What will I do to make sure that I get through whatever disasters scientists are telling us are coming? Now, they lie to us when they say it'll be 50 or 100 years before anything bad happens. It could be 50 days, 50 weeks. So I take that approach. If you're prepared now, you're prepared for anything.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed this very much.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Well said, gentlemen. Well said. I'm with you all the way. You're right on the same page as I am. I totally agree with you. I think it's important to look at the scenarios as scientists are putting forward. And it is all too easy, given our American comfort level that we've had for so long, to tell ourselves that it is going to be some miraculous event where we hold hands and ascend into a rainbow. You know, and I if we did, it would be great. But I agree with you guys. Why not get prepared for other scenarios? Because truly, in my opinion, I think we get the most growth when we go through adversity.
Mm-hmm.
It's often that's the quantum way to have a leap forward.
Well, I agree 100%. There's different ways of learning lessons, and some people are taking the hard way. You know, and so they need the hard lesson. And that's the way they've set it up. And it doesn't have to be that way, but that's just the way some people have set it up.
And it is totally an individual experience, I'm sure, when you get right down to it. The future is, reality is largely what we create within our brain. But there is just so much information that needs to be given, and it's information that we're getting more and more of it, more and more rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I just was so happy to have you two men on is because I research a lot and I talk to a lot of people in my work and here on the radio, and I don't know anybody other than you two guys that is as honest and heartfelt and helpful. You guys really do come from a place of service-based and heart-oriented information, and the thing that is so good about you, James, is you're a UFO guy that is not nuts. That is hard to find. And Michael is this fabulous journalistic investigative reporter that has the research skills to go through this fabulous internet that we have and pull out the information that all of us people need to know about what is going on scientifically, because he researches it to make sure his facts are straight before he puts it up. So you guys do check when you get offline tonight or tomorrow, go to ECETI, ECETI, which is Enlightened Contact with Extraterrestrial Intelligence.org, or to buy contacthasbegun.com. You'll find a wealth of information, ongoing new information coming forward. Now, is there anything else you guys want to add before I close up shop? I hate to, because I could go another hour or two.
Go ahead, Michael.
I'd be happy to go another hour or two myself. But
we'll have to have another show. Go ahead.
Thank you for the plug. I just recommend that people sign up to my newsletter. It's about Earth changes, and it changes every week. I'd appreciate that.
I think that is real important to, stay, Michael is staying the top of everything, and I haven't had the time. I've just been on the road constantly. But he's staying right on top of the latest, breakthroughs, information about, Earth changes and what's happening on the planet. And we forward a lot of his newsletters on our site as well. So if you go to the, ESETI site, ESETI.org, and sign up for the newsletter there, we also...
Mm-hmm.
Bring out a lot of information about what the higher beings are saying, concerning what's next. And, pay attention, because the sun is getting ready to do its thing. And even NASA is saying that the sun is going to get ready to create some major changes on this planet.
Right.
So, again, just do your own research. It's out there.
And please look at the Nexus.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Michael.
Look at the Nexus Project. I think that's a really important one for people to get involved in. There's some beautiful information in that.
Yeah, that's a fabulous resource and a new one to me that I appreciate. And also the sun thing is something that you don't always hear a lot about. But James has been pointing that out for some time.
He has. That's one of the things.
It's a biggie.
We can expect, according to Hathaway of NASA, massive solar storms in 2010, 2011. And that means that we could run out of electricity or the capacity to generate and use electricity of any sort just in a matter of 18 months, 2 years. Those are
which
the things that science is telling us about, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's why people need your book,
mm-hmm.
How to Prepare.
Yeah.
It is good. You know, I wrote about this in 1982. Which is amazing, about these solar changes and what was going to happen, and, you know, about the international banksters, all of this stuff, how it was going to unfold. And people are blown away, and they go, when did you write this book? And they go, 1982, and they can't believe it because it's unfolding right on cue.
Well, you know, James, when I was in my, about that many years ago, maybe 20, I had a series of visions in the form of dreams about end times. And because I was in traditional religion at that time, I thought it was like the revelation type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm farther along, I have interpreted it differently, and it was amazingly accurate for what I'm learning from science now. So, you know, we live in an exciting age. They're giving me the cut sign.
Yeah.
My husband came out and went, but thank you guys for being my guests. That's Michael Knight and James Gilliatt, two excellent resources and all-around nice guys. I'll see you next time on February 9th. Tune in next Monday for Galexis. Now stay tuned for just a minute, because I got a little song for you. It's For What It's Worth by Buffalo Springfield, with commentary from John F. Kennedy, speaking about 50 years ago. Interesting, because what he says could have been written today, and the song For What It's Worth could have been written in this day. Somehow it's just even more fitting in 2009. So this week, imagine more, look around less. Do that until your imagery is the most familiar vibe you have. Bye now.